How's everyone doing? Okay. Still alive. Switch my phone off so I don't get phone calls. Be nice if everyone else did that too. That'd be kind of cool. Subtle hint, not really. Okay. Conversation as a platform. What is this really all about? It's about us talking to each other and to machines, which is what we seem to do a lot of. How many people have heard the phrase conversation as a platform before today? It's kind of becoming this, I know mantra is maybe not the right word, but a concept that's been worked on and played out, not just with Microsoft, but with a number of tech companies, as to how in the future we may engage with a lot of our technology. And I guess what's interesting is that when I think about the future of how we engage with our technology, some of that future is already here, which always reminds me of William Gibson, one of my favorite sci-fi authors, who made this statement, which is, the future is already here, it's just not very evenly distributed. So when I think about conversation as a platform, there are some situations where this is already here. So if you buy a modern car, conversation as a platform is typically built into your car. You talk to your car, right? Most modern cars have some kind of voice reco where you can ask it to, you know, navigate you somewhere or make a phone call, etc. How many people have cars that do that? Right? So some of us are already living in the future, which is cool. And yet, a lot of our technology is still driven through keyboards and mice, and sometimes not even mice, just keyboards. Although a lot of the technology that we work with nowadays sits in our pockets, and we don't even call them computers anymore. We don't even call them smartphones anymore. We just call them phones. And actually, phones is another space where we start to see some of this technology already emerging. If you're using an iPhone, you probably speak to Siri. Maybe not the whole time, maybe not as much as Apple would like, but you've probably tried it. Siri, what's the weather? That kind of thing. If you use an Android, you probably say, okay, Google, how do I get to? If you use a Windows phone, where is that guy? There he is. You may use Cortana. Hey, Cortana, how do I do something? How do I get somewhere? What's on my calendar? So again, that future is kind of here already to some degree. But I think we're going to see a much bigger shift towards that conversational engagement in probably the next decade or so as new devices come out and as we find different ways to engage with the devices that we have. And this is why this session, I think, is important and why Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Apple all think conversation as a platform is an important topic. Just to point out, this is not a 100-level session, although in the session builder up until about an hour ago, it probably was a 100 session. I will do code, and we're going to build a bot. So if you're scared of code, you can run away now. I won't be disappointed. No, everyone likes code. Cool. So just a little bit of background as to why I got to this point, and some of you know my background, but I've kind of done a number of different things over the years that have led me to this place. And some of those things kind of intertwine to create this concept of how we engage with technology and the changing ways. So, you know, I worked with intelligent agents when AI was on a peak in the 90s. Everyone was talking about AI, and I thought, hey, this is cool. I could build an intelligent agent to help me do certain things. In fact, we did. You know, we didn't actually achieve what we wanted to achieve, but we achieved something else, and that was a good outcome for us, and I was quite happy with it. I worked on smartphones before anyone really knew what smartphones were, and so I saw this future coming of, you know, computers in our pockets, and I worked in the tablet PC team at Microsoft in 2002, and so I saw this other future of more mobile computing coming as well. And then I kind of did a gear shift, and I went and joined MSR for a little bit, Microsoft Research, did some stuff with translation and human language recognition, which was interesting and plays into some of the things I'm going to talk about. And then I went and worked on very large interactive screens and surfaces, and I still do a bunch of work in that, and I'm doing some sessions on Surface Hub and Surface Studio. But that led me to think about different ways that we engage with our computers and different mechanisms that we use to engage with our computers. Now, Bill Buxton, who works for Microsoft Research and is one of the smartest guys I have the privilege to have conversations with on an irregular basis, says that everything is best for something and worst for something else. And when we put that into context of conversation as a platform, let's think about what conversation as a platform may be best for and what it may be worst for. So what it may be best for is where it already exists, actually, in cars. That's actually the ideal time that you don't want to engage with a screen. Like, the worst thing you want to do while you're driving is take out a screen and start typing on it, right? Or engaging with it. You want everything to be verbal and audio so that you can concentrate your eyes on the road. Maybe that is the best place for it. Where's the worst place for conversation as a platform? Maybe I'm on an airplane and I'm talking to my computer about some secret deal that I'm doing and disclosing my private account numbers. Maybe that's the worst place for conversation as a platform, right? But it's a bad place. So just because we can start to talk to computers doesn't mean we should talk to computers in all situations. And so I want you to think about the context of the conversation. Now, in the airplane scenario, maybe you are still having a conversation, but maybe it's not verbal. And this is another important thing to think about. Conversations don't necessarily have to be audio conversations. In fact, I bet most of you have conversations every day with people at work, in your families, your friends, that are rich conversations, but don't involve anyone talking, right? SMS, iMessage, Facebook Messenger, Kick, Slack, Skype. The number of channels is insane, and it seems to continue growing. And yet, these are all channels for conversations. And so just because you're building something that's conversational, it doesn't mean it has to speak to you across audio wavelength. Maybe using our thumbs, which have magically, we have evolved these special texting devices over tens of thousands of years, specifically so we can text. We can use these to have conversations on different channels. But one thing we see with all of this happening is that computers are becoming more personal. And this is kind of in parallel but connected. Now, the nature of computers, when you think about them, has shifted to be my device. You know, initially computers were big shared machines. And yes, we still have them. They're called the cloud now instead of servers or whatever we want to call them. But our personal devices have become really personal. Again, statistics are all made up, according to Andrew Coates, but a very large percentage of people take their phone to bed with them. This is pretty personal, right? And more people are wearing computers on their wrists and maybe on their heads. And there's a lot of people very excited about the new Microsoft hat computer called HoloLens, right? This is something people are wearing. So this is very personal. So take a moment to imagine a world where this personal information, personal context, enables technology, enables our software to proactively engage with our lives and start predicting things and supporting us to forecast things that may happen, to predict events, to find things that might be interesting for us. This is a world that we start to see emerging right now. And then the next thing that happens is the computer talks to us through our channel of choice. Why does the computer have to always bring up like little pop-up toast messages? What if it sent me a text message? What if I'm not at my desk? That might be smart. So we start to think about computers providing conversations with the customers, with our customers. And I'm going to try to use the word customer instead of users, because users take drugs, customers buy our products. So I much prefer that word. And when we do this, we start to get devices that appear much more intelligent. In tomorrow's session, I'm going to drill into how to up that level of intelligence. Today's session is really going to be about how do we build the framework for the conversation. But I want to put it into the context of why Microsoft is doing this. And Microsoft has this vision of this future where technology is enriching the lives every day of everyone on the planet. And that's a big vision, and it's a big mission statement. But when you're a big multi-billion dollar company, I think it's a good idea to have a big vision and a big mission statement. And if you think about that, a lot of that requires that the software has a lot more context about the person, has a lot more information, and has a way of communicating with the person that's richer. And so conversation as a platform is really a natural way for us as human beings to engage with machines. And to use the language that we already know, we already use to talk to each other, to talk to computers. I was actually looking, I was trying to find, I don't know if anyone remembers that one of the Star Treks where Scotty picks up a mouse and he starts talking to the computer. I'm sure there's a clip on YouTube, and I'm sure if I showed it, I would probably get in trouble. But there's, you know, that's kind of a future, that Star Trek future where we just talk to our computers. And use the channels we already communicate with to have those conversations. So in the Microsoft world, the way this is starting to happen is through the bot framework. And the bot framework is Microsoft's technology or platform that enables us as developers, and I hope everyone in here is a developer. Yeah. Thank you, Cortana. Shut up. One of the challenges of the wrong place. So this is the wrong place to have conversation as a platform. Although, of course, I'm going to have to demo it. But this is a developer session, and so we're going to start drilling into using Visual Studio to build a bot. So let me switch over to this machine after I've told Cortana off for being naughty. How many people here have built a bot yet? One, two, three, few. So some of you may find this first bit a little bit boring, but hopefully you pick up some tips as to what you can get going. So let's not show the news because it's always disappointing. Someone posted a thing on Facebook, a friend of mine, says, waking up in America right now, and there's a picture of Captain Picard, and it's like, damage report. Anyway, enough politics. Bot framework, docs.botframework.com is your starting point. This is where everything to do with the bot framework can be found, downloaded, played with. There's all these resources here which are fantastic. And if we look at downloads, if you're a C# developer, you can download the Visual Studio template. And that's what I'm going to start with. And also the emulator. I wouldn't work with the bot framework without having the emulator, and I've got that installed here as well. So when we go to Visual Studio and create a new project, we have now a template, once you've installed that template, for a bot application. So let's build our first bot, and we'll call it DemoBot because that's a suitable name, and see what it does. And while it's spitting out that template, let's run the emulator as well. And the emulator just is a way of us communicating with a bot that we're running on localhost so that we can have a conversation as we're building it out and we can debug it. And I'll show you how to do some of that as well. So here's the demo bot. And the only thing we really care about is the message controller. And the message controller is a piece of code that handles messages coming in and messages going out. So we can receive messages and we can send messages out. Now, it's important to point out at this moment that bots are just a piece of software. There's nothing, like, a lot of people come at this going, oh, show me the magic. It's just a web app, right? It's a web app that knows how to receive a sentence, a conversation component, which is a sentence, and respond with another sentence. It's pretty simple, actually, when you think about it. And this web app receives a sentence, works out how long it is, and responds with, this is what you sent me, and this is how long it is. So if we run this, you'll see it just runs on localhost on a certain port. It should run up, and we run the emulator. Oh, go back to the emulator. We can connect to the endpoint, which is 3979, I believe. Now, as you start getting into deployment, you're going to want an app ID and a password. I haven't set that yet, so we're just blank. So we can connect to the bot that's running, and we can say, hello, Ignite. And it responds with, telling us what you'd expect it to respond with based on the code that we have here. So let's change that code and actually get it to do something. So what should we get it to do? What would be useful for a bot to do? Well, let's have a think about that. Everything is best for something and worst for something else. One of the things that could be useful for a bot to do is help us with food ordering, right? If you are a food company, you may want to have a bot rather than a person that you can get your customers to have a conversation with to order food. It just so happens this wonderful company, Contoso Cafe, has asked us to help them extend this application. They have an application and they have a website to build a bot. What a great coincidence. How lucky for us. So we'll come back to this Contoso Cafe application in a minute, but first let's go back to building a bot that could order food. And the good thing about ordering food is it kind of lends itself to a dialogue, a conversation that, you know, can wind its way through a few different types of scenarios. And we're not going to do very much in this one, but you start to see how those dialogues hook together. So hopefully, as I'm building this out, you can learn some practices about building bots. Bots can get very complicated very quickly, so I tend to kind of force things. Can everyone see the code, by the way, and see my Visual Studio? I was told off for having too high a resolution at one point, but if anyone... At the back, can you see it? Yeah? All good? Okay, great. Don't need binoculars. So I'm going to create something called a main intent dialogue. And actually, we'll use this more tomorrow as we extend out the capabilities of the bot. Make it serializable. Yeah, please move forward as well. There's some really comfy seats up here if you need to see the code a bit better, because I am going to, this is going to start to get a bit code heavy. And it's going to implement the iDialogue interface. And right now, we're just going to return a string from the main intent dialogue. Now, dialogues are components of a conversation. A dialogue is a component of a conversation, and you can create multiple dialogues within a bot so that the bot can have multiple threads to its conversation, multiple dialogues can be supported with our customers. And the dialogue that we're going to create, this main intent dialogue, is going to be the starting point for a conversation. That's why I call it the main intent. It's the main intent that our customer is having a conversation with us about. And in here, we're going to use the context of the conversation, and we're going to wait for a message to be received. I before accept after C. Message received, and we'll make it an async method. And because Visual Studio does all the work for us, yummy. Now, Visual Studio kind of does all the work for us, but There's things I want to change here, because while that is an object, everything is an object, it's not very explicit, and I like to use some explicit types. The whole point in having a type-safe language is that you can use them, right? So use an iMessage activity, which is part of the bot connection. So what's going to happen is when a message is received from a customer, it'll come into this dialogue when we trigger the dialogue, and we'll be able to do something with it. So the message equals await result. And of course it's async, because everything is async nowadays. So then what are we going to do with this message? So if the at a very simple level, we can get the text out of the message. I'm just going to convert it to lower. And it's that's all we ever want to order, right? There's no other food worth ordering. We can respond on that same context with how much cake do you want? Which is great. And then we can wait on that context again for the next message to be received. And so you can start spinning on this as to what's happening, and then we could do something else here. So we could do else, and let me just do some lovely copy-paste coding, and I'm sure you can already see how you could optimize this. So we've now got this starting point of a dialogue to start a conversation off. What we need to do is hook this dialogue into the message controller so that we can start actually triggering from the main controller a set of dialogues depending on what the customer is asking for. And the way we're going to do that, and this is again a very classic pattern that you see in a lot of bots that are being written now, we're going to create a method called makeRootDialog, which is the root conversation piece. And that's going to return an object in a dialogue. And we'll return one of those new main intent dialogues. So I need to include namespaces. I need to include namespaces, yada, yada, yada. So now I need to call that. And I will call it when I receive a message, which seems like the obvious place to call it. So at this point, I can await on the conversation, which is an object that's here. And on the activity, I will make a root dialogue. That's the method that's going to get called to trigger this and get this conversation. Oh, make root dialogue. There we go. So that's make root dialogue there. So we're going to call this. That will start when the conversation starts. It'll trigger that dialogue to be run, and then hopefully we can have a conversation with it. So if all that code went to plan, which apparently it didn't. We need to return, and this needs to be async, which is what the name says. Oh no, I actually don't need to return because context wait already does that. And then we'll run it. So again, we run on localhost. Now, one thing is when you're using the emulator and you're working with a bot, one of the things you typically want to do is start a new conversation, because the bots maintain context through conversations. And it's actually really useful once you start getting going and building bots out that bots can maintain context of the conversation. But while you're building stuff and trying stuff out, it can be annoying because it still has the context of the previous conversation, which can lead to errors as you're testing stuff in the new conversation. Anyway, if I say, hello, I can only give you cake, so I say, give me cake. How much cake do you want? Now, it's actually repeating that first sentence as well, so we need to go and figure that out and work out how to fix that, and we're going to do that now. We're actually going to extend this out so that we can start ordering other things and other items of food. So let's do that. Let's stop this running. And we're going to build within this, we're going to add a model. And again, I'm just kind of structuring this now. I don't have to structure it this way at a simple level, but it will get complicated quickly. And so I want to give you an idea of how you start structuring your bot code, because otherwise it just becomes this big mess very fast. So I'm going to add a class here called command. And actually, the first thing I'm going to do here, which you might want to do if you're religious about these things, is put this in a different file, but I'm going to create an enum for a command type. And this is the type of thing the customer may be asking for. So order food is one, but maybe book table is another, maybe find nearest is another. And actually, what I typically do on these things is put none as the first. If I don't understand what the heck they're asking about, it fits into the command type none. So I've created a certain type of command that can be triggered. And so this is, at a top level, what I'm expecting the customer to ask of my bot. They're going to either order food, they're going to book a table, they're going to find the nearest restaurant. So the command object is going to maintain, in the context of the conversation, information about that conversation. And I'm just going to create a const string here, and I'll show you why I do that in a minute. And you could, I guess, use the object name or the type name to do this. And you could even spell it right. But one of the reasons that I do it this way is that in the future, as I extend this application out, I may want to extend out the command object, but I don't really want to rename the command class. Instead, what I would do is maybe call this command 2 or command 3, right? So within the context of things that are being stored, I now know I've got the second generation or the third generation of the command. A little bit hacky maybe, but I found it to be quite a useful way of working, and you'll see where I use this in a minute. Anyway, in here, I'm going to create the command type that enum type. So a command has a command type, so this is the thing that the customer is looking for. I'm actually going to store a timestamp as well, because that could be useful. Maybe it's the time they want the food ordered or delivered to them. Maybe it's the time of the request, but I'm pretty sure that it's the kind of thing I'm going to want to use at some point. And then right now, I'm just going to store the raw request, the raw sentence that was asked of this command. So then I can, maybe unwind that as I go through the dialogue and look through that to pull out pieces of it. Now I want to use this command back in that main intent dialogue. I want to go back to that main intent dialogue. I actually want to change it to return a command. And I need to include the namespace for models. And the reason I'm doing that is what I want is, as someone initially engages a conversation with the bot, I want that initial engagement to respond or store the context of what they're actually asking for. Are they asking for ordering food? Are they asking to book a table? Are they asking to find where the nearest thing is? And then as part of this, I need to change what they're actually asking for here. So I still want to get that message out, but actually the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to build a command object. So I'll create a new command object, and the command type initially will be none, right? Because I don't know what they're asking for yet. Hopefully, I'll be able to work that out as I go through disambiguating this conversation. Why doesn't it like that? Oh, because it should be that. That's why. So then let's have a look at, in fact, we can just reuse some of this code. So if the message text to lower, and we'll get smarter with this as we start building this out, but say it contains the word order. I'm going to make an assumption at that point that they're trying to order something from the restaurant or from the bot. So if it contains the word order, then we will set the command type to order food, which is going to store that. And then we will store the entire request equals the text. And that's what the customer has said to the bot. Now, at this point, there is no else anymore. This is all that I care about right now, if it's an order. And then in the context of the conversation, you'll find that there's this thing called private conversation data. And private conversation data is a place, it's essentially, it's a dictionary that gets stored where I can start storing information about the conversation through a multi-turn conversation. So if I go to command.name, and this is where I use that name. So I'm now storing this command object as context within this conversation. There's different types of conversation data as well. So there's private conversation data, there's just conversation data, and I think there's one more, user data. But what I care about here is the context of the specific conversation. And then I say within the context I'm done, which is actually means I've finished this dialogue, and this dialogue can return that command back out. So this order food dialogue, or this main intent dialogue, rather, is now spinning up and finding out what's the main intent and responding. And so when we want to extend what intents we support, we can easily do that by just managing this. So I could say, if it contains book, then I'm going to assume it's book table. And we can extend that out. Now, anyone that's... Who's played with Lewis? A few of you, a couple of you. So anyone that's played with Lewis can see that at this point, maybe it would be good to put in some language understanding, right? But I'm not going to do that yet. We'll do that tomorrow. For now, we're going to use this hokey kind of if it's got certain hard-coded text. And then tomorrow, we'll start looking at how we put some intelligence into this to get smarter with it and understand some interesting things about what the customer is asking for. So now we need to go back to that make root dialogue in the message controller and change this. Because this now, we don't want to just return a main intent dialogue. We want to actually chain the conversation from one dialogue to another. And there's this concept of chaining dialogues along. So the main intent dialogue has returned the initial intent of the customer. I then want to, based on that initial intent, go into a different piece of the conversation, a different thread of the conversation. So I'm going to chain from that main intent dialogue, and I'm going to chain from that, and then based on the outcome of that, I'm going to switch into a different set of conversations. Now, this code scares a lot of people. I've had some, pretty experienced programmers who have gone, holy smokes, what on earth is going on here? So bear with me, and we'll talk through it. I will help you through this. So first thing is, the outcome of whatever we switch into I'm going to unwrap the chain, so I'm going to unwind the chain, and I'm going to post that outcome to the user, and then we'll be back to the beginning of the conversation. Now, in a switch, it's always good to have a default case. So let's create a new default case. Now, the switch itself deals with command objects, which is important. And it also deals with a secondary dialog that we're going to hand off to. And in this case, that secondary dialog will return a string. And then I'm going to create a little, I don't know what we call these things. We used to call them anonymous methods. I think we call them agile methods or something now. I'm going to create another little method in here that takes the context and the command. And the default of this is to return from the chain. Oh, not return. Return from the chain with kind of a high level telling you what I can do. So, hi, I can help you with ordering food. A couple of things you'll notice that I've done here. I've put three spaces before I put the carriage return. Oh, and there's a whole bunch of other things that need to get sorted. But anyway, we'll come to that in a minute. Let's close that off. There we go. One of the reasons I've done that is that bots speak Markdown. How many people have come across Markdown? Right, a few of you. So if you want to start putting some formatting into the text that the bot returns, it's Markdown. The formatting is Markdown. And so it's worth you kind of learning some of those things as you go. Default case, it's not a command dialogue. It's just a command. That's part of the problem, and it needs a namespace for that to work. And bingo, we're starting to get into business. So the first thing that I've got here is from the main intent dialogue, if I don't know what the intent is, the default case, I can just respond with something high level. So, but I do want to deal with things if they're asking for ordering food, right? So I need a new case here. And thank you, C#, bot framework team, whatever, but there's uppercase case and lowercase case. This is an uppercase case. Sometimes I do wonder, but anyway, not for very long, because I have work to do too. So in the case of the command being a certain type, and here we're going to work out what that type is. So we'll take that command again and run another one of those agile methods. So we're going to return true if the command type, that's typo. Is order food. And if it is, then we want to do something with that. And what we're going to do is we're going to chain again into a new dialogue. So we're going to chain into, using another little agile method, a new dialogue, which we haven't written yet, by the way. So we're going to chain from a new order food dialogue. And then here we need another bracket somewhere, probably. And a comma. There we go. So what we've done here, and I did say, you know, full warning, full disclosure, this does scare people. We're starting to chain dialogues together. And you can see that this could get fairly complicated fairly quickly. You get into the next dialogue, you can chain from that, and you can continue chaining within your dialogues to create much more complicated conversations. So to make this work, we're going to need to do a few little bits of housekeeping. Let's add a class that will maintain our menu items. In fact, let's just make it an enum. And of course, in the real world, we would read our menu from a web service or something. but here I'm just going to hard code some menu items so that we can move forward. And just assume that we have at least one healthy thing on the menu. Okay. So now what I want to do is I want to use this order food dialog, or make up this order food dialog within my dialogues folder. You can see we're already starting to get into this point of having more than, you know, multiple dialogues. So order food dialog. And we've already built a dialog, so this bit is always already super easy for us, right? We know how dialogs work. It's a templated case of... now, what are we going to return from this dialog? We're going to return a string, remember? And then we need to implement it. This should start to look familiar. So now you're starting to get into this, oh, okay, I know what to do here. I need to, you know, grab this context of this conversation and do something with it. So what did we store in the context of the conversation? We stored one of those command objects. So our command is something we can start pulling out of that context. So if the context, private conversation data, we can try and get that value. And again, we're going to use that name. And we'll get it into the command object. So if we can pull out the command object, we can start to do something with it. And yes, it's an async method, so we need to put async in front of it. So what are we going to do with it? Well, I guess the first thing we should do, seeing as we are the order food dialog, is we should make sure that it is the right type for us, because we can't really... we would need to build another dialogue for booking tables, for example. So if it's the order food dialogue, we're in business. Now, what we want to do is make sure we've actually got something in the request. Like, have they actually all asked for some kind of food? So as long as the request is not null, or if it is null, and here we get some lovely one of these... unwinding of enum types to find out what's in an enum. So if the names of menu items, if any of those names are contained in the command request, then we know we've got something that someone has ordered that is on the menu, which is awesome. This is you know, a good starting point. But actually, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to say, if it's not here, then we want to respond saying, context done. You need to order something from the menu. So we can tell this is an Australian restaurant. You can't choose what order you want. You can't alter the food. And I've got a bracket missing somewhere, probably. Yep. Else, we're going to create a method called order food that's going to take the context of the conversation and the command that we've pulled out of this conversation data. And I was hoping it was going to generate it for me, but it's not going to. So I'll write it in real code. It's probably missing something somewhere. Oh no, I know why. Because it thinks I just want it to be a method. There we go. So here we can actually start to unwind the request that's been made and generate what they've asked for. So again, I'm going to keep this reasonably simple for now and just use a string builder to build up the order that they've asked for. Um, And I can actually use that, well, I guess here I need to make that async, but this lovely line of code that pulls out all the types, I can use this or something very similar to it to get a list of all the things they've asked for in the request. So the way I can do that is... enumerable, there'll be strings because that's what the food items are, equals get the names out of the request that are from that enum. So get everything out of the request that is part of that enum. And then I can make sure that there is actually something in that items list. You may notice that I'm quite old-fashioned in the way I always put constants first. Years of making mistakes in code means that you tend to do those kind of things. So I tend to do null not equal to or the constant number not equal to. It's kind of habit now and probably something you should consider thinking about as you... I know like compilers catch a lot of this stuff for us now. So what I'm going to do is start looping through each of those items and adding it to the order. How many people have come across this new string syntax? I love this new string syntax, by the way. Where you can just put variables into your string like this. People using that, yeah? That's cool, isn't it? Yeah, it's makes life a lot easier than all the, you know, printf formatting that we used to do in the old days. And if they haven't got anything, then again, we could do... need to order something on the menu. Okay, phew. So we've gone through and built out, and if it compiles, that would be awesome. I know why, because I need to actually return something out of all of this. So at the end of this, I need to, not this one. Whoops. At the end of this, I need to, from the context, post back the answer. So post async that order. So now I can post back the response into the conversation. So where are we up to? We're up to now having, if we run this and it works, fingers crossed everybody, we're up to having a bot that has two dialogues, that one that chains from the next, create a new conversation, and say, hello, I can help you with ordering food, yes, thank you, order me coffee and cake. Okay, so it's starting to get into that next piece of the conversation. It says, you have ordered the following items, coffee and cake. And we can start building on this and creating a much richer conversational bot by starting to chain these dialogues together. And from that order food dialogue, you may want to take it to the next level and start asking for the quantity of food they want. How many pizzas are you ordering? How many coffees? What kind of coffee? And start disambiguating the request and having a rich conversation with the customer. And that's really what this is about. This is about creating conversations with our customers. So we built a bot from scratch, which is totally awesome. Well, I don't know if the bot is totally awesome, but the fact that we built it in less than an hour is pretty awesome. What I wanted to do next, and I know time is kind of running away from me, is think about how we now push this into an application. Remember, we have this Contoso Cafe application. How many people here have got UWP applications? I thought so. All right. Well, both of you guys can do this. And then how many people here have got web applications? Okay, cool. So all of you guys can push bots into web applications. That's pretty simple. In fact, what I haven't shown you yet, so kind of jumping ahead a little bit, let's go back here and have a look at my bots. So once you've built a bot and you're ready to ship that bot, how many people here have got an Azure account? Okay, that's the right answer. That's good. You go to publish, and if my network works well, you basically are publishing the bot as an Azure web app. It'll connect to Azure. It'll go through asking you which subscription you want to check in. Come on, internet. No, not that one. I'll do my MSDN dev one. And then you can start publishing straight into this. Now, when you publish your bot, you're basically publishing to Azure a web app. And that web app will have an app ID associated with it. And once you've got that app ID, you go to docs.botframework.com, you log in, and you register a bot. And it'll probably ask me to log in now. Yeah, woohoo. Okay. Oh, did it automatically. Amazing. And so you start filling in this form to tell the bot framework library about your bot. So you're registering your bot with the bot framework library. And the reason you're doing that, you don't actually need to do that because you've got an endpoint hosting a web app. You could just start talking to it. But there's some benefits to doing this. So you put the full URL that Azure has given you once you've published, and you create an app ID for it. Once you've done that and you go to, I've got a few bots that I've published here, but if I go to my Contoso Cafe bot, here's one I baked earlier. You can start publishing your bot on multiple channels. And this is something that Microsoft gives to you for free. So you want your bot to work on Skype? Boom, you hit the Skype button, publish it on Skype, it's done. You want it to work on Kick? Boom, it's done. Slack, done. Facebook Messenger, a little bit more work. You have to go to Facebook, register for a bot, get an ID, put it in. Your bot now starts working in Facebook Messenger. It's probably another whole 5 minutes of work. But all of these channels are already there for us, which is great. This enables us to extend the reach of our bot very, very quickly. So there's a bot that we built for Carstens is a company that does conference rooms and meeting rooms they rent out, and they have a bot that enables you to, on their website, that enables you to have conversations with the bot and book a room. But they've automatically enabled it for Slack and for Skype, and you can just start having, add the bot to your Slack channel, add the bot to a Skype conversation, and start having a conversation with it right there in that channel. So that's kind of a freebie once you start publishing your bot on Azure and using the bot framework through here. But one of the things you'll notice is there's Direct Line. And Direct Line is essentially a set of REST endpoints that let me, from my own application, whether it's a UWP or an Android app or anything else we want, start talking to the bot within the application. And that's what I was going to show you here. So if we go to the code for Contoso Cafe and just go to the menu, and I'm just going to do a bit of trickery and uncomment a button here because I don't really have time to write all the code for this and build this. And I will explain at a high level. Hopefully it will build. Is it going to run? How this works. But it's wrapping. It's not a web interface. This is actually a rich XAML interface in... it's not that rich. But it's a XAML interface in a UWP app that is hosting the bot. So I can say order pizza and Coke, and it's using the same bot channel. Now this is another bot that I've previously built, but it's essentially doing the same thing and hosting that bot within an application. How am I doing that? I'll just quickly give you an overview of that. The main thing you care about is a message channel. And the message channel, there's a NuGet package called Direct Line Client. So the heavy lifting is done for you. You get that NuGet package, you pull it down, and you open up a client. You need some secret stuff, which is, you know, quickly show you, but it's your, you know, app ID and your password and all that kind of stuff, and you don't want to store it like I have in the code for demo purposes. You want to store that somewhere else. But once you've got that, you set up your direct line credentials to your bot, so the bot knows it's only you that can have that conversation, only your app can have that conversation, or the app that you've given permission to. And you then have that, you set up that direct line endpoint and create a new conversation. And a conversation is really a case of sending and receiving messages, right? That's all a conversation is. And then you start capturing those and you can decide how you want to display them. So in this application, the way I've decided to manage that is using a view model that wraps up the message channel and determines how to render those messages. If they come from the bot, render them in one color. If they come from the customer, render them in a different color. And then stack them up in that list in the XAML frame. So pretty straightforward way of, you know, implementing or grabbing that. And of course, you probably want to style it so it actually looks good. The other thing I wanted to show you as we get towards the end is this ability to hook bots and conversations into Cortana. And Cortana is kind of interesting and about to get a heck more interesting, I reckon. And the reason for that is how many people run Windows, right? Pretty much everybody in business seems to run Windows. I know there's Mac users out there and whatever. But the other thing that happens is that how many people have got, Android phones? How many people have got Windows or Android phones? Right, and you start looking at those numbers, and they're pretty big. Now, Cortana's already shipping on Android. We just really haven't made a big deal about it. And Cortana is going to become available on a number of other platforms. You can guess what they are. I'm not going to announce them. As this starts to happen, Cortana starts to become more interesting. Last December, an announcement was made that Cortana is going to get deployed into essentially headless units. Right, so there'll be speakers that contain Cortana. And I'm sure you've seen competitive products that do something similar. But there's going to be more endpoints for Cortana. Cortana can have conversations with customers. And Cortana actually knows a... Cortana actually knows a lot more about us than a lot of the other systems that are out there. Because of Windows. So if you've got a Windows machine, you can give permission for Cortana to access things like your calendar, your email, your scheduling, your food preferences, your search history. Oh, scary. Okay, so you start to think about this thing that I started talking about, which is the conversation that you have with a person. And that person has a context that they build up over time of who you are and what kind of person you are. Well, Cortana is starting to do that as well. And Cortana is in a very interesting position to be able to do some of this stuff because it actually has hooks already into it. So, for example, if I look at Cortana here and just bring up my Cortana canvas, everyone knows Build was announced, right? I don't think that's a secret, but I've got some sessions, I've got a meeting, but it notices that it's at lunchtime, right? And so it says, hey, there's an overlap there between a meeting that's happening and the time that Neil normally has lunch. So maybe we should order some food for him. So maybe we give him the ability to share some information with Contoso Cafe or food location of choice, so that it will go and get some food already to order for me. And this is the kind of thing that you start to see Cortana being able to do. Now, last week at there was a big event last week, Dev Windows event. Kevin Gallo, head of development for Windows, or developer tools for Windows, presented this one-day event, which was awesome. And one of the things that was talked about was this new concept of Cortana skills. And let me see if I can find my browser window with Cortana skills in. Here we go. So this is the Cortana developer portal, which is in preview right now. If you have a business case, you can request permission to access this. And the Cortana development portal enables us to start to build out what we're calling Cortana skills. And a Cortana skill is something that Cortana can hook into and use to trigger your application, your service, your endpoint. So what I've got here is a little demo bot that I've built, or a Cortana skill that I've built for Ignite. And I say, hey, if the user says, order food, and then I build out, and if anyone's played with Lewis, and we'll play with Lewis some more. Actually, there's a session tomorrow morning, session 321, which is a deep dive into cognitive services. They'll talk a bit about Lewis then, and then I'll put that into the context of bots and conversations tomorrow at the end of the day when I do my session. But this is a lot like Lewis, and in fact, this is built on top of Lewis. And so I've got a set of intents that determine someone is asking for food based on what we're calling a slot item or an entity. And entities get placed into slots, and they get passed on to your application. So if someone asks for order a coffee, I will get that in a slot, in a menu item slot, passed to my application. And the way that happens is that I invoke a target. Now, there's a few clues here that might be interesting to you. So I can invoke a Windows target, which is what I'm doing right now, and that's what I just triggered when I clicked the order food on the Cortana canvas, right? But I could invoke an Android application, or I could invoke something that sits somewhere on a URL. What sits on URLs? Think about that. Lots of things, right? So anything you basically post up or host an app into the cloud, you could get Cortana to start having a conversation with. These items, these slot items get passed, and within these slot items, you can pass in all kinds of information that Cortana knows about the customer. So the Cortana knows the customer's home location, if the customer has decided to share that with Cortana. So you want to order food, you could say, hey, you know, order me some food, order me a pizza for when I get home. It already knows where you live, so it doesn't have to ask that question. That's pretty cool. So you're starting to get this interesting level of contextual information built into the conversation. Just so you know how this works in the code, in the Contoso Cafe application, and if I've got the file open, in the app manifest, does everyone know how you do deep linking in an app? So you create this extension in the app manifest, and you state that you can support this protocol. Here I've called it Contoso Cafe. That should look familiar to you because that's the same that I've got highlighted here, right? That's Contoso Cafe. So it's triggering on Windows Contoso Cafe. If an app is installed that supports this Windows protocol, it triggers it. And then it calls into my app class. It activates my app class with a set of arguments. And I've actually created a class here called Contoso Skills, because that's what it is. It's all about Contoso or Cortana skills. And if I'm activated with a Windows protocol, I try and handle that skill. And the way I handle that skill is I pull out the protocol arguments. And in this case, I've asked Cortana to send me the cuisine preferences, their home location, and the time they would like the delivery. So Cortana can start sending me that information, and then I can build up an order based on that. So you can see that from going from one piece of the conversation where you're kind of essentially talking to the operating system, you can now hook into that and trigger your application or your web endpoint or even your Android application to fire on that. Now, one thing I was really hoping to show you was actually deploying one of these, but we actually have a slight problem at the moment, so we'll gloss over that. But yeah, this is preview, this is not shipping yet, but it will be coming soon. I'm not sure if dates are announced, so I'm not going to promise any dates, but it's imminent. And it's something, if you're starting to think about conversation as a platform, it's definitely something to start thinking about. So, you're probably all really tired by now and wondering why I'm still driveling on about the bot framework and conversation as a platform. But hopefully what you've seen from this session is that it's not that hard to get started building a way that you can create in software a natural conversation between your customers and your applications using the language we already use on the channels that we want to, or that the customer wants to have that conversation with. And the bot framework is really the way that we do that, and you know, I built out that demo. I have to give you these slides about where you go and find more information. I'm sure you've seen this like 5 times already. You know where to go and get this stuff. Remember to fill in your evals, please, because then you can be a pilot and fly one of those drones around, which is so cool and exciting, and I'm sure it's wonderful, because I won't get a chance to do it. But I hope you'll tell me how wonderful it is and tweet it and Facebook it, etc. So with that, I'd like to say thank you very much, and if there's any questions, please ask.